Blog Talk Radio.
We everywhere.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, a hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yeah. What?
What's going on, salute to the War Room Nation? Welcome back to the Roundtable. You are once again live in the war.
Brother B. Austin, you know, because you just because I, you know, on the podcast, the echo is kind of crazy. So let me handle the intro, good brother.
You got it, good brother.
Let everybody know who they're listening to.
You got it.
All right, no doubt. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Roundtable that is called the War Room. You are once again live with us, rocking the day. Right now, I got my brother B. Austin and PJ be checking in a minute because Dev and Kill are out handling family business on the West Coast, but they'll check in a minute. Tonight, we're going to discuss NBA All-Star Weekend and a lot of stories surrounding the National Basketball Association. And like I said, Dev and Kill are calling. They're going to talk about the Reason to Believe Gala they attended out in Los Angeles last night. You know, we already national. We're about to go global. So they're in L.A. right now, you know, taking care of business. But as usual, join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter, at War Room Sports. Now, before we jump into today's rundown, we'd like to shout out the team. The future of sports talk radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. That's also on Blog Talk Radio. Also, catch Mojo and the crew of the season tickets. That's Monday at 6 p.m. also on Blog Talk Radio. Finally, check out the homie Brandon and Daniel Sports Trap Radio. That's Saturdays at 10 a.m. at ueradiolive.com. Don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us. We're in syndication 3 times a week on Fridays on newvideradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m., and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. on FatsRadio.com. But before we jump into the show, just remember, go to our chat room, blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. And also, you can chime in or tell your friends to listen by phone, and that's 323-410-0012. The bottom line is we want to hear from you no matter how you get in touch with us, Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, Pinterest. We're all over the place. Just chime in and, you know, bust it up with us. But right now, the brother B. Austin is going to come back on and tell us who's having a birthday.
Yes, sir. My mic sound nice.
Check one.
Yeah, I heard that. Before I get into these birthdays, we got to shout out one of our lead sponsors, DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. Tell them the brother Jimmy sent you.
No doubt.
Birthdays. So who's having a
birthday
today?
Yay!
Braylon Jamel Edwards turns 30, better known as Braylon Edwards. Jimmy, what's up with the brother Braylon Edwards?
Yo, it's crazy because I thought Braylon Edwards coming out of Michigan was going to be, you know, I don't think he would be like a legendary, but he's like a very productive and solid receiver. He still has a chance to be. He's still fairly young, but when I think of him, the first thing that comes to mind is drop passes. Braylon is one of those guys that will catch like the most difficult pass thrown to him, but then drop like passes where he's wide open and it hits him in the hand. So, you know, he's kind of an up-and-down player, but, you know, we'll see. He still has a chance to turn it around. Not he doesn't have that long, but at the end of the day, you know, he still has something left in the tank, in my opinion. So we'll see how he progresses as his career goes on. But I think a drop pass is right off the bat.
Yeah, wasted talent, wasted opportunity. And I would say his downfall is a lack of focus on his craft. Braylon Edwards has all of the skills, sets, and tools to be a top-flight number one receiver in the NFL. Mindset-wise, he has none of it, you know, because I've seen him make the spectacular grab, but he consistently drops the football. And when I say consistent, I mean he has led the league in drops more than three times. Like, he's dropping the whole game.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Just based upon, you know, what I said, do you think it's over? Like, I know you said that, you know, wasted talent. Do you think he still has a chance to turn around and kind of, like, change his career?
I think that there's a chance. I think with every year, you slim that chance down by 5 to 10%. So I would say he's got maybe a 20% chance, maybe 25% chance at the age of 30.
Okay.
Somebody's got to pick him up. He's got to end up making the roster. He's got to be now more than the three or four. He's got to end up in the two spot or one. What are the chances of that? So, I give him a 20-25% chance.
It is slim. Maybe I'm still holding out hope because I honestly thought that he was going to be, you know, a very productive receiver. So
he has the tools. Everybody did.
I'm disappointed in where his career is or what have you, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, man. So shout out to him on his birthday. Hopefully
true.
He gets together, but if not, FOH.
Next birthday, Stephen Deshaun Francis, better known as Steve Francis or Steve Franchise. Jimmy, what's up with Steve Francis?
My birthday, yay!
I don't know whether this is like the disappointment birthday segment, but it's another one of those guys, man, where I think of a couple things when I think of Steve Francis. Of course, you think of the Terrapins. I think about him cussing on TV, which was hilarious, and he came back out and apologized. But I also think of that horrid rap video he dropped in 2011 when he was really trying to start a career as an MC. It was just brutal to watch, and he, you know, Steve Francis, every time I see him, he looks like worse. Listen, I saw him at the All-Star game. Yo, he looked like he was out there, like, you know, selling TVs or something. Like, he looked kind of like, you know, not going to say he's a crackhead, but he looked crackish.
Yeah, having spent 15 years in the DMV, Washington, D.C. area, I've seen his rise and his fall. And his fall really hasn't been that far, but it's definitely been a fall from grace. You know, came on the scene, played at Allegheny, which was a JUCO tour there, averaging over, you know, whatever. and then ended up going to Maryland, had a great 2-year run there, came in the league, took it by storm. Why? Because athletically and handle-wise, there's just nothing that this dude could not do with a basketball on a basketball court. He could jump higher than most. He was faster than most. He was quicker than most. He had handle. He had the J. His J, you know, was streaky, but it wasn't bad. The guys that he kind of came out with, if you will, no pun intended, shout out to Cat Gattino Mobley, but the guys he came out with.
I wasn't even going to bring that up, yo.
The guys he came out with, Baron Davis and Steph Scarberry, those are the guys where he gets, you know, the most comparisons to. Steph was a little before his time in terms of when he left school, but those are the guys that you think of when you think of Steve. And you know, he was in their class athletically, skill-wise, wasn't great, didn't have great court vision, but made up for it in almost every other facet of the game in terms of scoring. He was a great rebounder for a 6'3". Point guard, you know, ended the career, you know, kind of early. A lot of people feel he was working on a comeback, went to China, played over there. I don't know, a lot of rumors about the brothers, which way he swings on the pendulum, but we'll leave that alone.
Here's the thing, though, right? I remember at one time they were actually comparing him to AI.
That's
crazy when you think about it. At one time, they were comparing him to AI. You know,
if you really think about it, Jimmy, he was Derrick Rose kind of before Derrick Rose in terms of athleticism. Not even necessarily game, but from an athleticism standpoint, he had it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve. Next birthday up is Dr. Jack Ramsey, the legendary coach. Or former coach, coach the St. Joe Hawks, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Buffalo Braves, Portland Trail Blazers, and his last coaching assignment was with the Pacers in 88. 864 wins. Dr. Jack Ramsey, what you got on Dr. Jack? Won a chip also now, with the Blazers.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Yay!
When I think of Dr. Jack Ramsey, it's funny because I was young when he coached in the NBA last, but the majority of his coaching life was before I was even born. But when I think of him, I think about him as a broadcaster, and I think that himself as well as Hubie Brown are two of the best at teaching the game during broadcasts. I learned a lot of what I know about basketball by watching those two guys, and I know this is not Hubie Brown's birthday, but I always lump them two together because both of them are excellent at, you know, showing you what's going on in the game, things that you won't see just by watching, but they'll break down plays and break down why players make certain decisions. And, you know, I guess these guys are both a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the NBA. So, you know, that's what I think of when I think of him. He was an excellent bro. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how great a coach he was. Now, I've heard he was a great coach, but at the end of the day, I can vouch for him being a great broadcast.
Man, Dr. Jack Ramsey, there's a couple of people that I really want my son to receive some level of coaching from. It's Dr. Jack Ramsey, Hubie Brown, Larry Brown, and Akil Bayon. Shout out to the doctor. But, yo, Dr. Jack Ramsey, yo, he is so astute when it comes to the X's and O's and the understanding of the strategy and the nuances of the game. Listening to him broadcast will help you understand the game better. It's not just color commentation. It's not just play-by-play. Dude will help you gain a better understanding of basketball, and that's missing from ball today with the folks that kind of cover it, I think. So shout out to Jack on his birthday.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, excellent at teaching the game. So I think of a teacher. And you know, just like the other guys you mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, there are some of the best. So shout out to him on his birthday.
Next up is Robert P. Ryan, a.k.a. Bob Ryan, turned 67 today.
My birthday, yay!
Bob Ryan, what you think of, Jimmy?
Bob Ryan, you know, one of the best columnists out there. You know, of course, now we see him on Around the Horn, you know, and even PTI, all the different shows on ESPN. But he's definitely one of the best at his craft in terms of writing. I think of Boston when I think of Bob Ryan, which makes me kind of dislike him in a sense because I'm not really a fan of anything in Boston. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know all the Boston teams work hard and they're very smart, but, you know, I'm just not a fan of that. So, with that being said, I think of Boston, I think of Bob Ryan, but in terms of his craft at being a sports writer, he's definitely one of the best. So, shout out to him on his birthday. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Bob Ryan grew up engaged in all sports, man. Dude, if you follow his history, it's tremendous. But from him being a columnist with the Boston Globe to seeing him on the other sports networks, he is sports. When I think of Bob Ryan, I think of sports. You know, that's especially basketball. Yeah, the Celtics a little bit, but, you know, just more so his journalistic contributions. You know, that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
Bob. Actually, Bill Simmons gives him credit for a lot of his inspiration.
I wonder why. Boston, huh? FOH, man.
Jimmy mad at Boston.
Yo,
okay, Laker fan.
Boston, man. Hey, people from Boston think they're so smart, and they're all not smart. Anyway, man, shout out to everybody on their birthday. What I'm getting ready to do is tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind. Before I do that, got to let you know that While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. All you income tax ballers, before you blow all your money on Jordans, wine, weed, and women, make sure to contact Bay Financial Services. Go to warroomsports.com and look at the logo for Bay Financial Services. Get your money right. B. Austin, let's talk about your man. Your man out there gives what seems to be a consistent story. I know you did a video about this. What is your opinion of what's going on in that case? Because it's all kinds of stuff broken in that case as of today.
Your man, I don't know enough to speak on it. You know, who does, but the people that were there. Someone's died. Someone's passed away. Someone was killed. And that always, I always deal with that with heavy heart. I don't know what to make of this dude, man. I think he killed her. I think he killed her.
I don't think that's the question, though. I mean, I don't think he's denying that part. But in terms of how it all went down, because, you know, I've heard stories that he took the time, you know, put his legs on and then go lay that murder game down.
Lay his Wayne Perry down?
It's not funny, man. Stop trying to make me laugh, man, because I feel like an ignorant dude, man. But anyway, it's all kinds of stories. And now there's a story that the prosecutor, the person prosecuting him himself, has been indicted a murder. So what goes down in South Africa, B? Like, yeah, that's the story today, man. The prosecutor in the case himself just got indicted of murder on a whole separate incident. So like, I don't know. Yo, South Africa's off the chain, yo. It's just a crazy story.
Caught a body at the party.
In terms of what's going on. But at the end of the day, man, you know, this is what court is for. It's a fact-finding mission. So hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it. We may never know the true story because there's only one person alive that was actually there when this incident occurred. And it is in his best interest, you know, to try to paint a picture to get keep himself out of trouble. But with that being said, man, you know, what you think, man? You got any other thoughts on this whole situation?
I want to see how it plays out. I will, as the weeks go by and as the world turns, I'm sure my opinion will develop a little bit more on the subject.
Yeah.
But I'm in shock. I'm disappointed in dude, and that, you know, that's all I got, man.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, you hear stories like this, and you see other stories about, like, you know, foreign countries in their judicial system, man. It's like, yo, it scares me from even wanting to travel, man. Like, I'm not trying to get no trouble nowhere, B, because, you know, the prosecutor's laying the murder game down. So, anyway, man, let's move on from that story, y'all. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves will retire Chipper Jones' number 10 jersey. Now, I know you're not the biggest baseball fan, but with that being said, you know who Chipper Jones is, which is a testament to his body of work, considering you're not a big baseball fan. So with that being said, do you think it's deserved that, you know, his jersey being retired?
I do. He's got enough accolades behind him. I think he played his entire career for the Braves. So right there, that establishes him as, you know, a staple for the franchise, for the organization. You know, his career batting average is over 300. You know, he's amassed about 468 homers, 8 All-Star selections, a World Series champ, 2-time Silver mm-hmm. Slugger. NL MVP. He deserves it.
He has a nice resume, but something I want to bring up in reference to this here. When you look mm-hmm. at the honor of having your jersey retired, it's a little different than, say, going into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you actually put that honor? Because to me, Chipper Jones is synonymous with the Atlanta Braves.
Exactly. I think we're in agreement. And I think I know where you're going. Not to cut you off. Go ahead and finish that thought.
Yeah,
but
I
think
what I was saying is some players are synonymous and are a big part of their franchise.
Right.
Now, Chipper Jones is the exception because I think he's also a great player. Like you mentioned,
right.
468 home runs. He batted over 300. So he's also a great player, 8-time All-Star. He's no slouch. But you have some
right.
guys who may not even put up the numbers like he does, but they are special to that particular
yeah,
team.
Yeah, like you retire. You can retire Heath Sherman's jersey. I mean.
That, my friend, might be a stretch.
You can retire Vance Johnson, you know, Ricky Mateel.
No, but here's an example. Steve Atwater may not go into the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
but you can retire his jersey.
Yeah, yeah, you got to retire. It's not necessarily the impact on the sport but the impact on the franchise itself. So trying to think of, I'm thinking of somebody that probably won't be a Hall of Famer, but should have their jersey retired as an Eagle. Brian Westbrook comes to mind. Brian Westbrook's not going to the Hall of Fame, more than likely, but he should have his jersey retired as an Eagle. You shouldn't wear the 36.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
Somebody else.
That was a good example. So that was a great example. That's absolutely what it is we're talking about.
What about, I got one for you, who should have their jersey? Kurt Rambis, should he have his jersey retired? I ain't even being funny, though.
I'm thinking about what you're saying, and that's a great question. Should Kurt Rambis have his Lakers jersey retired? See, I don't know. The Lakers are a little different, man, because, like, you know.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
I'm trying to keep it a beam, man.
The Lakers are a little different, man, you know. So it is what it is. Anyway, man, one last story that's been in the news, because we're going to talk about All-Star Weekend and a little bit of basketball later. But you hear what's going on with your man, Lil Wayne, a.k.a. Lil Tunchi in the Miami Heat?
Yeah.
I want to get your opinion on this. Because I know you have an opinion on this. To make a long story long, Lil Wayne supposedly or allegedly was kicked out of a Heat game last week. Now, he's kind of backing off that before the All-Star break. And this past All-Star game, he, you know, did a show out in Houston where he kind of disrespected everybody. He said F LeBron, F the Heat, F She Wade. Yeah, She Wade. And then he talked about how he, you know, fornicated with one Chris Bosh's wife. So what is your opinion of, you know, Lil Wayne's beef with the Miami Heat?
He's girling right now. He's acting like a girl, not a woman, not a lady, but like a little girl. Because here's what it really, really boils down to. Just like every other superstar, celeb that has been kind of handed certain things on a silver platter, he has a team of sycophants that surround him that gives him, for the most part, everything he wants, laughs at all his jokes, says everything he does is hot. And so those type of people don't deal well with rejection. Now, I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
So when you look at LeBron's relationship with Sean Clark, a.k.a. Jay-Z, a.k.a. I don't call him another man God, so you're never going to hear me say Hova or anything like that. You look at the relationship that he has. Essentially, they've done business together because they've done a series of events together. LeBron shows up at his concerts. He's an understudy of Jay-Z, essentially. Lil Wayne wants that relationship with the Miami Heat players. He wants to be in the inn. He wants to be cool. He wants to have them at all. Because he's sent numerous invites to all three of those guys, specifically She Wade. I like that, though, Wayne. She Wade and LeBron to come to his concerts, VIP, to join him on a set for his video shoots. And they decline all invitations. LeBron's people have gone as far as to say, you know, we appreciate the invites, thank you, but LeBron doesn't like being sweated, essentially, so back the F up and stop sweating me before I smack you.
Listen to this aspect of it, keeping it sports.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that he paid over $1 million for his Florida season tickets at the Miami game, and the whole thing started when, you know, him and D-Wade got into a little talking thing because a lot of times he roots for the other team. And he said that he's a fan of the NBA as a whole, so he likes, you know, certain players. He'll root for them, and him and D-Wade got into it. And D-Wade was like, we don't F with you, you know. So he was like, well, I don't F with y'all either. So that's how the whole thing started. Because he basically goes to the game and heckles the team depending upon who they're playing.
Right.
So, and he claims
I can believe that.
He claims that it's kind of unfair. He says that he pays his money. He should be able to heckle whoever he wants to because that's what he's paying his money for. And this whole thing escalated to the point where the NBA has, you know, blocked him from certain events on All-Star Weekend. Now, the NBA actually took the time to respond, which is hilarious in itself.
And declined. Well, they denied it.
Yeah, exactly. They denied it. They denied all that, saying that this didn't happen. But the fact of the matter is that the NBA felt as though they had to respond made this story interesting, man. Now, at the end of the day, the big loser in all this is Chris Bosh.
Because his wife got slammed.
Let me ask you this, though, Jimmy.
If you live an alternative lifestyle and you're really not into women, but you have a wife just for just for kind of the show, to be accepted, to be marketable, you haven't really kicked the door off the closet. It's like, does he really mind that? Because he wouldn't have married her in the first place. I mean, Cameron has been in her mouth.
That right there is the bad thing. It's like after the whole thing went down, you had a bunch of other cats reaching out, like, oh yeah, ooh. That too. Like,
oh, you too? Yo, she got that mean Nema. Chris Bosh is definitely the loser in all of this.
Yeah, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, man. It's just a funny situation, man. But I find it hilarious that a lot of entertainers want to be athletes and vice versa. And the relationship between entertainer and athlete is always hilarious to me. And when they cross, I always find it interesting, specifically in this manner when it, you know,
when they cross dress or when they cross paths.
Yo, man, before we move on. And, move on and
we got to talk about the DB wars. We got to talk about Twitter's DB wars.
Yeah. You want to get into that now or, you know, because I know that Dev and Kill are out there in the West Coast and they got to chime in a minute. But anyway, before we do that, though, let me tell people how to get – I'll tell people how to get in touch with us real quick, get in that chat. Yes, sir. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. That's right, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, watch our videos at War Room Sports TV, look at our pictures on Instagram. Anyway, join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and I'm just, you know, hook up right there. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Again, that's 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we'll bring you on, you know, and see what it is you want to talk about. Make sure to chime in and, become a part of the show, so to speak. Or you can just sit in the chat room, you know, and chop it up with, you know, what is there, send us tweets. We're also at the hashtag WRS if you want to send anything to us on Twitter. But at the end of the day, those are the ways to get in touch with us. Brother B. Austin, let me see if Devin Kill... I'm ready to chop it up. Not yet. So let's just
DB Ward.
Talk about. Go ahead, good brother. Go ahead, good brother.
DB Ward. So as y'all know, Richard Sherman, the starting All-Pro cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks Sea Chickens, is a shameless self-promoter. I mean, along the lines of a T.O., Ocho Cinco. He's out there. He's always getting his smile on and in the camera and instigating some ish and telling you what he thinks about himself and about others. I'm not mad at it. Hey, the game needs characters. And if you can walk the walk behind the talk, then, you know, whatever. So he came on and he mentioned the top 5 or top 10 cornerbacks in the league. This was in early February, earlier this month. And he negated mentioned Darrell Revis. So today the tweets were brought up on Twitter, and he and Darrell Revis got got into it and kind of was going back and forth. They got to about 15, 16 tweets deep, and it was mentioned on the NFL channel. So Richard Sherman picks up the phone and calls into the show live in response. Darrell Revis said, get your followers up on Twitter. Richard Sherman said, get your interceptions up in the game. So it was nuts. My whole take on this is, you know, I don't think Darrell Revis should even have stooped to answering and falling into the bait that was given. So what if another man's opinion, who's a rookie at that, he comes out his face? I mean, so what? You're giving him the platform to grow bigger.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's one of those things where I enjoy it. I enjoy the banter. But I guess it depends upon where you're at in terms of your level as an athlete, whether you respond or say anything to certain situations. But I kind of enjoy it, man. Great response, though. Get your interceptions up.
No doubt. I definitely enjoyed it. But now there's this question out there based on three things. You know, Revis's injury, so he's down, ACL. Is he going to come back a step slower? Is he going to have diminished skills? And then we all know what Darrell Revis does. He gets into the middle of a contract, and he says, you know what? I need more money. I need another max deal. I'm not mad at him for doing that because they can cut him at any time. So, Darrell Revis.
One thing people have to understand is sports at the end of the day is a business, and people like to get mad at athletes for acting a certain way, but it's never that kind of backlash when the owners decide to cut someone regardless of, you know,
what's
going on. I've seen guys get injured and it's like say FOH. Remember John Mobley that played for Denver.
John Mobley was a piranha too.
They basically FOH team. So it is one of those situations where they have to remember that. So I see why Revis does what he does. But
the question is who's
situation
better
with the cornerback. I don't see. That comes with so many caveats, man. Because you got the whole when healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now when both healthy. Oh man.
Jimmy, this shouldn't even be difficult.
I mean, it's not. But I have to weigh in. Because I would say, honestly, I would say Revis. But I can't not think about his injuries and the fact that he doesn't even play that much. But the reason I would say Revis is because he's more physical, in my opinion. And Revis lines up on the best receiver regardless of where they're at on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's always hurt, though.
Here's my thing. And I love what Sherman brings to the game, both his game and his mouth. But here's the thing, and this is why Darrell Revis is better historically, and if healthy, he's better as well. Number one, Richard Sherman lines up alongside a great defensive backfield. Earl Thomas is a rangy safety who's as fast as he is and in the Pro Bowl and All-Pro. Browner on the other side of him is 6'3", 215. And really, it's almost like pick your poison when a quarterback is trying to throw on Seattle's defense. So he gets the benefit of a great defensive backfield. Darrell Revis has shown by himself that he's nice.
Real quick, let's get back to this because we got our brothers calling in.
Oh,
like
man.
I said, they're out in Hollywood, you know, trying to get that chicken for us. So let's just bring them on real fast. Let me see.
Yeah. What's up, Hollywood Ninjas?
What's up?
Yo, what's good?
Not me.
Yeah.
Can
you hear us?
Yeah, we got
you. Yeah,
you on the air. You live.
Yeah, we are in cold Hollywood, man.
Cold? Come on, man.
It's cold out here as it was when I left Maryland 3 days ago.
Wow. People got NWA skull caps on here, like Compton.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you're out in L.A. and it's cold, I know it's a bunch of snow bunnies. Never mind.
Bunnies love snow.
I digress, man. What's going on, gentlemen? Let everybody know, you know,
where
you
at?
The event you guys attended. I know you guys attended a star-studded event.
Yeah,
you know,
we went out
there
to, you know, to support our brother Omar McGee in his endeavor. It was a fundraising gala called Reason to Believe for the Executive Preparatory Academy of Finance. And, you know, he's been on the show before, so listeners, you know, if you listen in regularly, you would have heard him. He came on the show and explained what the school was all about. It's actually a school for inner-city kids, but it's giving them a leg up because they're going to, you know, concentrate on finance. So the kids will be financially literate, you know, when they leave high school and, you know, kind of put them in a position that a lot of inner-city youth don't get to be in these days because, you know, face it, you know, when we get out of school, when we get out of high school especially, we're behind the eight ball financially. And then, you know, even the people that become successful, they become an ESPN broke type story. So, you know, they're trying to do some things to make sure the kids don't go through that. And, of course, War Room Sports, we're big supporters of the cause. Akil is actually on the board of directors. So, you know, we came out. It was a nice event last night in Los Angeles. Akil, you want to tell them a little bit about, you know, what went down last night? A lot of laughs, too. A lot of laughs. It was a nice event.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, as Dev alluded to, I'm on the board of directors with Executive Prep Academy of Finance. So pulling double duty with the school and representing War Room Sports as well. So we had the chance to meet, you know, Lou Gossett Jr., who's on the board with me. Also actor Richard Gant, those that may know, may not know, he played in some classic movies also. He was Don King in Rocky V, by the way.
Yeah, he was that Don King type character in Rocky V, only in America.
And we got a chance to see Keita Williams and the other girl that's with her who's from the T.O. show, Johnny Gill, perform. He was actually pretty funny. And Tommy Davidson performed. He was ridiculously funny. And Rise Media Group was out there. So, I mean, it was an event where you can see everybody wanted to help the kids in need. And even Bill Clinton gave Omar and the school a shout-out because of the idea and the vision that's taking place. So other than that,
Karen Wright also sang a couple of songs. You know, she's still trying to get it on Superwoman because when she tried.
How
to sing,
early
she
in the morning,
exactly.
I put breakfast. My fault.
Yeah, she tried to sing something new, and a lot of people didn't seem interested. But she just took it back, blast from the past, and she got the crowd back on her side.
And she said she was doing real estate. Like when she dropped off after Superwoman, I guess she took a lot of her money. She said she was flipping houses, moving every 2 years. I guess the market cooled down, so
that's
she picks up the mic again.
That's what's up. And by the way, for those who don't know, you can listen to Omar episode 19 because I got it in my head like a Rolodex, and I'm nice. But yeah, man, so that's what's up. It sounds like you guys are having a ball out there, man, even though it's kind of cold, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was a really good event, man. They raised some good money. It was at a place called
such
Argiana.
A thing as bad money?
If you got a fundraiser going and you don't raise that much money, I guess that could be bad money. But they got some hefty checks up there, and of course, you know, people were actually making donations on the spot. You know, in addition to, you know, what you paid for the dinner in itself, you know, like $150 event, unless you were getting a VIP table for $1,500. But yeah, they'll be having future things. So if anybody out there wants to get involved, helping out the kids, you know, because like Ronnie Brewer said on our show a few weeks back, children are our future.
I believe the children are our future.
The children are our future.
He's Ronnie Brewer.
So,
yo, I have
so
a question,
we'll be giving the information for everybody, you know, if you want
to
help out in the future.
I have a question for you guys, man, because one of my favorite players of all time, one of my favorite, or should I say off-brand players, I heard he was in the building as well, man. Did you guys have a chance to chop it up with Cedric the Baller?
We got a chance to chop it up with DJ Cedric Sabalos. DJ said, actually, he was the music provider for the evening, and he did a good job, you know what I'm saying?
He did.
Because he's a part of that age group where, you know, he's playing good music, but it's still music you can jam to without having to, you know, go the 2 Chainz route and stuff like that. So, yeah, DJ said Sabalos, he was killing it a little bit. And of course, we talked to him, so, you know, he may make a future appearance in the war room so he can talk about his DJ skills and how he started that whole thing. Yeah,
no
shout
doubt,
out
man.
To Seth Sabalos, man. But yeah, it was a great event, man. We actually are gearing up now for tonight's Spurs versus Clippers game down at the Staples Center.
Okay.
That'll be the last thing we do before we head back tomorrow. Is that game ESPN? I'm not ESPN. Is that TNT tonight?
PJ, you know about the TNT game tonight? I don't know
it's a game coming on, but I'm not exactly sure. I could.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if so, you know, we gotta try.
Y'all just y'all text me later and let me know if that's a TNT game, because if I find out
you
if I'm
on
TV, I can start drawing. Yeah.
Actually,
I figured that's where you was going with it.
It's TNT, because the first game is the Heat and the Bulls. The second game is the Clippers and the Spurs. So yeah, it's 10:30 Eastern time.
Yeah.
TNT.
Cool. Got to put on my dancing shoes then. Get my coon on.
Yeah, before we let you guys go, I got to ask you guys a question that me and Austin were talking about. Richard Sherman or Darrell Revis?
Wow. It all depends on injuries, man.
Same thing I said.
At this point, surprisingly, I mean, let's say if it was a thing, you know, where you're starting a team, you need a cornerback, you might have to go with the younger guy who hasn't been, you know, injured. Of course, Darrell Revis has the history, but you might have to go Richard Sherman. But that whole, you know, public beef that they had, like, entertaining. But when is this stuff going to stop?
Twitter is the greatest and also the worst thing to ever happen to these professional athletes.
Exactly.
I mean, they entertain me, but they embarrass themselves by entertaining me.
I was about to say, it's the greatest thing to happen to fans, but the worst thing to happen to the actual athletes. Because now we can see up close and personal how they make asses of themselves every day. It's out there on display.
Much, man. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, salute you gentlemen for flying the flag for us out there. You know, we like the Wu-Tang Clan. We still got to keep moving on this side.
Yeah.
And, yo, we want to give a shout-out to Mike Scott. Dev's cousins out here with us. Just holding
man.
It down.
I want y'all to personally tell Mike that I ain't speaking to him yet, man. I still got beef with him over that fantasy football, so...
Hey, Mike. Mike Scott provided us with the luxury accommodations. We're here at the Hyatt Crown or Century region, like next to Beverly Hills. Century
You're getting
Plaza.
The title of the hotel all wrong.
I know.
So he got it wrong. They ain't cut a check. They ain't cut a check,
but that's all good. You dig me?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they ain't cut no check. You know, I want all the ladies to know where I'm staying tonight. You know. They're not. I'm incognito. I'm laying low while I'm here until I get on TV tonight and draw.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
fellas.
What's up.
Y'all hold
man,
it down,
so
and we'll
y'all
be back
doing,
with
man.
Y'all next week.
All right.
Hold it down.
And don't forget to tune in our future.
All right. All right.
Yo, stay clear. Stay clear of Slauson and the Rolling 60s, yo.
No, man. Great Street.
Crenshaw and Slauson.
Crenshaw and
Normandy and Weston.
All right, y'all. Take it easy, yo.
All right.
Peace.
Oh, man. We about to get into this NBA
in.
All-Star weekend. But,
yo, man. I said stay clear at Great Street, but that, like, these days, that's like in Jersey. But anyway, that's another story, man.
So, what if Rolling 60 in the 80 trade game? If your schedule, is there more gangs in Jersey than Cali? If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, well, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports, because we want you to not only build your body, but build your mind. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things accomplished at the same time.
Yes, yes, sir. Holla. Yes, sir.
Pete Jizzle, what's good?
What it do, man? Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing,
yeah.
Ain't nothing.
Yo, we about to recap this All-Star weekend. First of all, I just want to start this all off by saying, what the hell was Dwight Howard doing? All right, now we can go.
My thing is this. He's still in the league? Yo, he's like, yo, it's unbelievable, man, just how far that gentleman has fell from the way he handled his situation in Orlando to, like, now, yo, it's a complete joke, man. By the way, check out our blog, warmansports.com/blog, because Casey Mack, one of our bloggers, wrote a piece about Dwight Howard today, pretty much asking the same question we did. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you know what, though? You know what's funny, though, Jimmy? I know you're a Lakers fan, so you probably already know this. As much bad publicity as he's getting and as much of a noodle as he is, he still leads the league in rebounding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Damn near 12 games.
Yeah, that's crazy. He gets a double-double. He gets a double-double. But that shows you, like, yo, if he got focused and just I just don't think it's a good fit either. But at the end of the day, man, you know,
you sound frustrated.
You know why? Because it's not, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the All-Star game, but, you know, since you brought this up, it's not just how he's playing now and the way – it's just that this season was so promising. On paper, people were just putting the Lakers in the finals.
I gave it to you. I did it.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's such a disappointment. And you know, and then when you watch the – and, I mean, a lot of it falls on him. You know, it's like if he gave us half of what he gave Orlando last year – we would be in a much better place. We'd be at least like a 6 or 7 season.
If he gave y'all half of what he does in terms of shooting threes before the game, what did y'all think about the dunk contest? Give us your impressions. Was it up this year? Was it down this year? Do they need to scrap it? Did they rob my man James White, who took off from right in? Never mind. What's your thoughts on the dunk contest?
Honestly, I'm good. If they were to omit that dunk contest, I would be good. It would be perfectly fine with
okay
me, man. I'm a throwback kind of. I like it when the good athletes, the great athletes, the great players used to be headlining the dunk contest. And honestly, that dunk contest back in like the late '80s, then all the way up to like the Vince Carter and even almost near the Dwight Howard days, where it was like. The dunk contest would be the leading event that you were looking forward to. Now it's
but
like,
you know what, PJ? I got 2 points about what you're saying because I agree, but then I was thinking about it because I was thinking about this a while because I was going to shoot a blog, a video about this because I was so pissed after it happened. But I sat down and thought about it. I was like, there are times when, like, you have the star athletes in it, but for the most part, you really don't. Like, Jordan won his couple, Dominique won his couple, but for the most part, you got guys like Kenny Skywalker, Muggsy Bogues. I mean, not Muggsy Bogues, Spud Webb, rather. I didn't say Muggsy Bogues. Spud Webb. You got guys like, what's the white boy with the brothers that won the job? Barry won it.
Barry.
For the most part, you have role players that win it, and every once in a while, you get a Dwight Howard or a Jordan. But it is something about the old dunk contest. Remember, we used to sit in, like, record those jumps and rewatch them. You know what I mean? In the living room in your mom's crib, like, yo, watch this.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You did.
These days,
even when,
man,
you had J.R. Ryder, like, he wasn't a star, but I think it's a combination of the style and I guess the style of these dunk contests, and I guess also like who it is too. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think the style
more
players.
So than the person because
yeah,
there are a lot of great dunk contests with some weirdos. Like, think about it, D. Brown won. My homie Cedric Ceballos won. So not only been stars that dominate these things, but the whole thing that you can try something, miss it, and keep trying, like, you get a – that's whack.
Yeah, they drawing with that. I would
just
like to see people
like,
who are
by the time you make it, it's like, I don't even care no more.
You know what I would like to see, though, too? Like, the people that are, like, freak athletes in-game. Like, the people who do freakish in-game dunks, like your LeBrons, like your Bustle Breast Book, as Magic likes to call them. Guys like that who are, like, freakish athletes who do crazy, ignorant dunks in the game, I would just like to see them get in a dunk contest one time. Even I know, like you said, kind of the stars really kind of faded out with, like, Neek and MJ. But then Kobe won it, too, though. Didn't Kobe
Kobe wasn't a star.
I know he was a young boy.
Yeah,
I know he was a young boy when
he
did. But it was just the fact that he was still, like, an ignorant athlete. And, you know, they got in it and competed. But
it's also one of those situations where, it's like, a lot of times guys that can dunk in games probably wouldn't be ish in a dunk contest. I don't know. But I'm with your original point, which is just get rid of the whole thing. It's run its course. And you could probably – I mean, these days, the way the All-Star game looks, they probably should replace it with a fashion show with these weirdos. But,
that's all. That is, it is a fashion show.
Yeah,
the sideline is a fashion show.
That's the crazy part, because you talk about all these different events, whether it be the skills competition, the three-point competition. But when you're watching, like, the conversation going on social media about the events, everybody's just clowning or laughing at what these jokers are wearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's like people are watching not even for the actual events. I'm like, a dunk contest is just – it's run its course. Specifically with these rules, this whole you dunk until you make it. Like, yo, you miss it four times and you make it. Yo, and these jokers were still handing out 50s.
Yeah,
how you get a 50 when you miss the job four times?
If you try, even if it's a wicked dunk, and you try it six times and you make it on the sixth, that's still anticlimactic, man. Like,
so,
you, like we saw what you were trying to do. You missing them, and then you make it at the end. It's like, it's like finally,
yo,
like, you know what I'm saying? You embarrassing yourself, bro.
My thing is this, though. It's like, yo.
Yeah,
my thing is this. What does Yao Ming know about a dunk contest?
Yao Ming was in that joint, man. I guess they were just reaching out, because when I saw Yao Ming, I was cracking up, man. Honestly, the highlight of the dunk contest is hearing, like, Shaq and Kenny and Charles and them make comments. Like, that's, like, the highlight of the dunk contest, their commentary. My highlight of the weekend probably was the three-point contest, just because I like to see. I always did like the three-point competition, because I always like to see somebody heat it up and just start knocking down, like, shots going from rack to rack to rack. Racks and racks and racks and racks and racks and racks. So, I mean, I like to see people heat that up, and I like the competition of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you gotta beat a certain score. Like, you got somebody else that's heating up. You got to compete with that. I kind of like the three-point. I'm a fan of the three-point contest, man.
Yeah, and it's kind of dramatic, too, like, you know, when they start getting down to it. And that's always what makes events good, is the drama that goes along with it. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
that's always a good thing, is the drama that comes along with that contest. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That definitely was better than the slam dunk contest. The slam dunk contest was a joke, and it continues to be a joke. They have to change their format, yo. That's all I want to say. But let me ask you a question about this, though. What do you think about Kyrie Irving and the weekend he had?
Yeah, Kyrie, man. Listen, I mean, to the average to, you know, aggressive basketball fan, everybody kind of knew who Kyrie was, but for the sort of like the passive or the casual basketball fan who may have heard of Kyrie and didn't really know. Now, don't get me wrong, you're not going. He doesn't become a star just from one weekend, but I think he just put himself on the map and kind of put himself up on more of a platform to for people to take notice of what he could potentially be. I don't say he's like, I've been hearing, you know, everybody's so like reactionary, and, you know, everybody's like, well, now where does he sit as the top point guard in the league? And I'm like, all right, from All-Star weekend, though, you can't change. Wherever you were in that, and wherever you were pre-All-Star weekend, you can't go higher up after All-Star weekend is over. All-Star weekend.
So you're talking about the pom-poms, the prisoners of the moment?
Exactly.
Yeah, prisoners
like
of the moment were out. And I'm a fan. I'm a huge Kyrie fan. Like,
yeah.
I'm a huge Kyrie fan, but I was getting sick and tired of hearing about how he is now the number two point guard in the world, moved up from number six just based on the fact that he made
Brandon Knight
levitate.
Yeah! Whoa! Hold up!
Because that is B. Austin's homie, Brandon Knight, and
yeah,
what he did
man.
To Brandon Knight should be illegal in at least 20 states.
Yo,
he
yeah.
took his food.
He chewed it up and gave it back to him.
Yo, the step back, I've never seen someone on a step back go vert. I don't understand what he did. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
this, not the one where he went by, because he got him three times. One time he went by, he did a drive-by, and he shot him in the kneecap. And so, then he did a shot, and then he shot him in another kneecap, and he didn't really fall. But on the step back, I've never seen someone jump vertical in the air. He was like, he was vertical. He was like parallel to the floor, about 3 feet off the ground, jumping for the shot. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I don't know.
Yo, that was hilarious.
Yo, but
I'm gonna
stand
right
up for my man Brandon. I'm gonna stand. If y'all watch the rookie game, my man Brandon put in some work, and he had a cool 25.
25 points. He was putting in work. Don't act like Brandon wasn't putting in work.
Yo,
he was.
I heard an announcer say that Brandon Knight is the best player at almost making plays in the league.
Dang.
Yo, but he got his life. He got
yo,
his
he
life.
Got, yeah, yo, he died. He died.
Yeah, he definitely
died.
Yeah, he was so intent on not letting Kyrie drive past him and trying to keep up with where the crossover was going that when Kyrie stepped back, like jumped back, it's like his body, Brandon Knight's body, just did something awkward. Like he just went, like you said, parallel off to the side somewhere.
He
got pushed.
It's like if somebody takes a step back, he tried to contest the shot. So he raised his hand up. And when he stepped forward to put his left foot down, it must have been like some sweat there because his left foot never planted. And as he jumped forward, he literally jumped instead of landing on his feet. He was in the air.
To make a long story short, he treated Brandon Knight like Chris Bosh's wife.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say, yo. But, yo, what did you guys think about the overall game? Because I kind of didn't get the same effect that you would have got because I watched it on replay. I was at an event Sunday, so I kind of watched it after the fact. So, you know,
do you want to know? You want my impressions?
Yeah.
In the last 4 minutes of the game, we learned that LeBron James still can't go left, and Kobe is still his pop.
I don't know if I would say that, man. Now,
I know you wouldn't, because you've been steadily joining the James gang.
But the reality is, I know
it was an exhibition game, but that pick that Chris Bosh set on Kobe was not an exhibition pick. It was a real pick, and here's what happened. I'm going to give you the last three plays of the game, and I ain't talking about nothing else. He came over
the screen. Not the fact that Chris Paul won the MVP, but he's going to talk about these three plays.
Yo,
ahead,
he went left around the screen, and actually the block that everybody saw and is making the biggest deal about, that was probably the least – I don't fault LeBron on that, because what happened was when he went left over the screen, he elevated, but he really wanted to pass, as he often wants to pass in the last 5 minutes of the game. He wanted to pass, and no one cut. So he kind of went up for a lackadaisical J because he wasn't really intending on shooting that. And that dirty black old snake came and snake bit him and took it. Now, the next play, when he came down, he went left again and tried to post up. And Kobe did what I do to my son and just palmed the ball in his face. Ah, come on, man. Come on, man. You don't let that. I don't care if it's one-on-one and ain't nobody in the gym. Let alone exhibition. You don't let nobody do that to you, man. You the greatest player in the world.
You
the best player in the world.
Saying, B, but all I'm saying is I just don't know. I don't think dude was going full steam. I mean, it's an exhibition.
I know. I know. You a sycophant now, too. You a fan.
I'm not a sycophant. I hope dude fails miserably at everything he does. I'm definitely a sycophant.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want him to fail at everything he does. I want him to be genuinely good and be able to go left.
Listen, man, he plays for the Heat. I'm not a fan of the Heat. I want him to fail miserably at everything he does in life. I don't even want his marriage to work. Because it's like, when it comes to this thing called sports, man, there's no mercy, man, and that's how I feel. So I'm definitely not a sycophant. But I try to be objective even when talking about players who play for my team. And a lot of times I get slandered from, fellow fans of my team, but I try to keep it a beam. I just don't know, like, what that even mattered, but, we'll see. Time will tell.
Yo, the last five minutes of that game, they were playing real D and real O. That man tried to go left and could not. And Michael Jordan weighed in.
Mike did.
And said, you can't go left. I've noticed LeBron, when he goes left, it's one dribble and pull up or two dribble and pull up. And when he goes right, he gets 50.
Yeah, he's going to get.
Here's my thing, though. That just goes to show. He's already the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's already a champion without being able to go left. So if he ever develops that part of his game.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
That's even scary. That shows he has room to grow.
This is true. This is certainly true.
I think in the All-Star game, though, like those plays, I think what happened is LeBron might have been being a bit lackadaisical because it was an All-Star game and everybody was kind of going. They would go 100% in spurts. Like, you know, if I got the ball, I want to do something, I might go 100% to score, and then I'm chilling for, while I don't have a rock or passing off, whatever it is. But I think just in the spirit of competition, like knowing what Kobe was trying to do, I think, like knowing that Kobe was trying to make it real. So I just think, for me, now this is just me speaking, I, even though it was an all-star game and it was, you know, everybody was pretty much chilling, I still would have been on some stuff like, all right, well, he coming at me, so I'm about to give him something. Like, for instance, when Kyrie did that move on Brandon, that was for real. Like, he wasn't going lackadaisical with those moves. So it's just like, if somebody's going to turn it up on me, then I think you got to respond back. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, like, not that you had, just on the, just out of the spirit of competition, I'm going to just, I'm going to do, you know, I'm not going to just let you Brody me for the last three possessions or however it went.
Yo.
That's what I think. I mean, I don't know that it means much outside of the fact. I mean, I don't, here's the thing. I don't think it shows anything new. I just think, to me, I would just say LeBron, out of the spirit of competition, I would have thought he would have did a little bit more just to stand up for himself.
If it happens one time, blame it on Kobe Bryant just trying to show him up.
But this is the second straight
All-Star game that Kobe has done that, and it's about the 10th straight play in the last 2 minutes of All-Star games that he's like locked up. So it's no excuse, man. It's no excuse. You in front of 8 million people, man. Come on, you can't let that dude do that to you. You cannot. I'm not letting Kobe do that to me. No, you're not doing it. I'm gonna punch you in the stomach and go to the rack.
At the end of the day, it's an All-Star game. Like, excuse for what?
That may be how smiling Magic took it. But the guy that I rooted for, Mike
Magic.
Jordan, wasn't allowing that to go down. All-Star game, playground, your mom, he playing your mom, your aunt, his mom, he's trying to
destroy. Listen, though, but he's a weirdo. That's why
he's
going to come back at
50. He is a weirdo. I totally agree. But that's just what I'm saying. That's how I took it. That's how Chris Paul takes it. That's why Chris Paul was balling away. He's a weirdo, too. Chris Paul is a competitive weirdo. And folks, what
yeah,
we're saying
thing,
is
though.
These
all
guys
I'm
that are at the
is,
top.
All I'm saying is,
with a barber with
hoof. Excited about. But as a Lakers fan, I'm sitting there like, all right, cute. But at the end of the day, if they go to win another chip and we don't even make the playoffs, what did it even mean?
True. Yeah, I mean, that's you could take all
Listen,
the air
man.
Out the bag. You could take all the fun out of it, and just that's the bottom line. I don't care about the 82 games and any of the playoffs that they
no,
don't win.
No, not that I don't care about 82
four games,
but at
the
end
finals,
of the day,
right?
It is about the bottom line, man. Listen, man.
Yo, if that's
and,
the
you
case,
know, I,
then we need to stop watching White Moses put up 20, 20, and 20 up in because they ain't winning nothing. I mean, come
yo,
on,
I
man.
Did, I've been stopped watching that. Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man. I've been stopped
Big
watching
Mark,
that. My
Big
whole
Market
thing
Jimmy.
Is, not, yeah, well, you can call me that. You know, I roll with that. I take that. But all I'm saying is, I just, to me, you know, I guess it happens from being a Lakers fan this long is like, yo, I'm trying to win chips. That's what it's all about.
Oh, you trying
all
to say? You trying to say to Kobe?
Do it in the game.
Okay, I got
that
you.
That is exactly it.
I got you.
Great way to surmise what's on my mind, man.
He's
that's all I'm
he's
saying.
He's trying to hit him with the do it in the game. Well, so some other pieces of the All-Star game, since I started there, I'll probably end there, probably thinking back up again, but we owe it to Chris Paul. He won MVP. Would you have picked someone else to win MVP?
I mean, I guess you could have made a case for Durant. What, Durant had like 30-something?
Oh, yeah. Durant.
I mean, you can always.
The All-Star game always has like three or four people that could win.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
yeah,
two.
That's true.
Yeah. I'd have gave it to CP. I mean, I don't think anybody else got robbed. Like you said,
yeah.
You can usually pick from like three. So giving it to him, I mean, what he had, like 20-something, like 15 assists, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
You know what? It was weird, and it was weird in a good way with him. I know it's just an exhibition and an All-Star game. But dude seemed to make every play at every moment that was needed. No mistakes, perfect play. You know, he gave the fans what they wanted to see. You know, he gets into that smooth, you know, herky-jerky, but yet smooth dribble and, you know, showing off the handles. But still, all the passes were on time and on target. And all of the shots were shots that were sort of tempo setters for the game. All right, they making a little run, or they may think they make, nah, let me knock down a couple J's. Let me get to the rack. Let me show the young boy Kyrie here how I do it. It just seems like he's just the sole controller. That's my nickname
for him.
Like he controls the tempo.
He said the sole controller.
That's what I. Yo, why is Westbrook so athletic? What's the point of that, yo?
He looks like a freak.
He looks like a spring shot out of a gun. Like.
Yeah. He do like when he goes to the hole, man. Like you said, it looks like somebody shot him out of it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
He got another gear. Like he's definitely a gear shift. He shifts gears with the rock in his hand.
What y'all think about Drew? Drew, shout out to the homie Drew Holiday, hometown Sixers fans, if y'all listening.
Holiday, at the end of the day, he really did nothing, but he held his own, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He probably had fun with the trip to the All-Star game. You may not ever see it again, but, you know.
He had a nice little bang, brother.
Yeah, he got a nice
Like I said, he held his own, man. He held his own. You know. But at the end of the day,
Boy George was balling.
Paul George?
Yeah.
He had a good weekend. He definitely had a good weekend. I mean, those are guys that, you know, I wouldn't put Drew in that, but in terms of Paul George, he had a good game, and I've heard his name mentioned a lot where before the game I didn't hear it mentioned. So, you know, I guess he made a name for himself, so to speak, on national stage, but you still play in Indiana, so it doesn't even matter.
But overall, it was
a good game. I mean, I wouldn't really read too much into it because I see people, Kobe and LeBron. And, the whole Kobe-LeBron argument at this point is irritating to me. You know, Kobe has accomplished, you know what I'm saying? Kobe has accomplished what he's accomplished.
You know,
LeBron is on the way up. So it's like that whole thing is just too much.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and I do agree. I think that your upper echelon players, your cream of the crop, the All-Star game doesn't mean anything. But I do think those first-time All-Stars, those guys that aren't necessarily perennial, they do play with a different confidence, not even after the All-Star game, but after the selection. When they know that they're going or there's a strong possibility that they're going, it validates them as players, and we all know that confidence – and belief in oneself is a foundation of playing well at that level. So I do think you see a extra bounce in the step of somebody like a Paul George or a Drew Holiday or a Kyrie Irving. Now, I do think Kyrie's going to make it back there plenty of times in his career, but this was his first one. And I could tell that he's a little different. He wants to go at cats. He believes that he belongs. He knows he belongs. I would even say the same thing about James Harden. You know, those are guys that will probably make multiple All-Star games, but it was their first, and they wanted it to be known, I'm here, I've arrived. And I think that translates into the way they play going forward.
And Kyrie is only 20 years of age.
Man.
A young boy, man. What, he played 8 games at Duke?
Man, yeah, felt like 4.
He's
impressed me this season. Not even so much the All-Star game, I didn't know that he was this good. I didn't know that he was this good. A lot of folks are saying, well, needs to work on his passing. Hell of a scorer, but you know, you're only getting 5 assists a game. To that, I would say, believe it or not, you know, Waiters and G on the perimeter, they kind of create for themselves,
right.
And then a lot of their big men, I've seen him give out dimes that they just don't finish on those plays.
Right.
So he kind of suffers from that. I like Kyrie, man. I think there's a promising future for that dude.
Yeah, I agree. He had a good game last night. He had 20 in the fourth quarter last night.
They're calling him Mr. Fourth Quarter.
Yeah. That's a good moniker to have this early in your career.
Yeah, that's
the fourth quarter. No, and it's crazy because we always talk about, like, you know, the fans who are all about what's going on now. People, I see people on Twitter talking about, yo, he's better than LeBron.
Oh, my God. Yo, pom-poms, man. Pom-poms, prisoner of the moment. Pom-poms.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop cheering for every star you see in the sky.
Right.
Yeah, but it's crazy, man. Yo, man, I'm laughing because shout out to Ezra of Idiot Sports Talk in our chat room. He just came in and put the story up that just broke on Deadspin, which is about J.R. Smith. And, you know, first off, J.R. Smith might be the funniest athlete on Twitter.
Yeah.
But, like, they somehow got a hold of some of his, like, text messages where, yo, J.R. Smith just be nailing chicks at every city that the Knicks go to, and he be talking pork chop greasy to them. So I'm not really going to get into the story, but, yo, it's on Deadspin.
Hold on, so he goes on and be talking trash to the chicks that he smashes on Twitter?
Yeah, he's out of control.
Not just that. He meets chicks to smash on Twitter. The chick, yo, is a text message with a chick says, "I'm going to your game tonight." He says, "Nice." And she put a smiley face. He put, "Yo, you trying to get the pipe?" Yo!
Yo.
They got screenshots of his text messages. Yo, J.R. Smith off the hook, yo.
He looks like he would do that. I'm not surprised by the fact that you say he conducts himself like that on Twitter. Like, I'm not surprised by looking at how he just got a reckless, retarded.
That's how he lost Joe Budden's girlfriend. Joe Budden's girlfriend became his girlfriend for a couple weeks, but he lost her because he posted a picture of her rump on Instagram. She was dating JR.
Picture of her laying in his bed.
I didn't know that.
Yo, and listen, now we sound like we a bunch of chicks on this show. And a chick on what's his face? The chick K Michelle. Yo, he
smashed her too.
Yo, smashed her, but not only that, like she was talking about this, how they went after he smashed, he went out and she got loud with him, boy, said, "I'll be right back more in the bathroom," and left her ass there. Yo, and she ain't here. So but the thing is, he talks greasy to chicks like that on Twitter all the time. Ezra said the thing about this story here is a chick he asked, she went to pipe. She was a high school student. He didn't know that though.
Dang. He said, "Oh man."
JR gotta be careful, man. Like as much as I poo poo on him because of his low basketball IQ, I actually am entertained by his ball game as well as his antics, so I wouldn't want to see anything bad happen to him because then I wouldn't be able to be entertained anymore.
Yeah.
He's definitely a one of a kind.
Yeah, but you know, he's one of those players that Austin would like. Austin likes guys that do nothing but shoot, and I guess that's how you would describe when J.R.
Yo, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, PJ, said, it always has been and it always will be about buckets.
Yes.
Shout out to my man, yo, Bill Russell and also Uncle Drew on that note. Yo, tell people how to get in touch with us real fast before I finish this NBA talk we have.
All right. Check out our website, everybody, warroomsports.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you have general inquiries, you can always hit us up on email, info@warroomsports.com. Don't forget to join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now, y'all, during the show. blogtalkradio.com/the war room to enter the chat room. Sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, just sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're there, be sure to click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. So to call in and speak on the Digital Extreme hotline, just call 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk to us.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's continue our NBA talk because we've been talking about the All-Star game, which went into a whole tirade about, J.R. Smith and his antics. But the rest of this NBA rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. And as I always say, if you do have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, in the words of Joe Biden, get a shotgun. But I'm saying kill yourself. Anyway, listen, though. speaking of that, Shout out to Rank Top 5 and Jeff, because I always clown Jeff because he has a BlackBerry. He's usually in our chat room. And he felt good because he actually upgraded to an Android phone, and he sent me a message just to let me know that. So I told him I would shout him out because he got rid of that BlackBerry, for Christ's sakes. Anyway, Stitcher Smart Radio. You can download by going to warroomsports.com and clicking on the Stitcher logo, or go to stitcher.com/thewarroom, that's one word, the War Room, and enter the coupon code, the War Room. You enter into a contest where you can win a lot of money. But at any rate, let's keep talking about the NBA. The trade deadline is here and gone at this point. Nothing really to talk. I mean, there's a couple moves that were made. What do you got to think about the trade deadline at this point? I mean, is the trade deadline not like it used to be? You think it's a blockbuster deal, but, you know.
It seems to be more hyped than me. Everything is based off of what could possibly happen. And then come 3 p.m. on Thursday, it's like nothing really significant happens. So, I don't know. The build-up to it is always, to me, more exciting, dramatic, you know, more thought-provoking and all that prior to it actually happening and going down. Once it goes down, and I feel like it never really leads up to all the possibles and could have been and ifs and stuff.
Well, I'm gonna say I will say this: there is one trade that I'm kind of I can't cover all of the pieces in it, but I know that Robinson from Sacramento got moved to Houston for the other rookie, Patrick Patterson, and it always kind of puzzles me when rookies are traded, especially first rounders. Because my question is, you saw something in them to draft them, and now in their rookie season, halfway through, whatever you saw wasn't the case, or you're changing direction mid-season. What? I don't always understand those types of trades. But Patrick Patterson from the Houston Rockets, he was their draft choice, moved to Sacramento for the kid Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, here's my thing, B. Austin. I hear what you're saying,
Robinson.
But
yeah.
Before today, right, I heard Josh Smith was getting traded. Possibly Al Jefferson, Paul Millsap, Garnett, Pierce, Dwight Howard, Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Jennings, and Monte Ellis possibly moving. Yo,
yep.
So you mean to tell me that the biggest name is like J.J. Redick?
JJ Redneck.
Yo, what happened, B? Like, all these names. I'm waiting for these blockbuster deals to go down. It's going to change what's happening in the league and give this team power. And yo, JJ Redick went to the Bucks.
I thought for sure Josh Smith was going to have to change his zip code.
Yeah, I find that interesting, but that's a challenge because you're not going to get back the value that you're asking for in trading him. Because he wants to be the centerpiece, and Atlanta knows he's not the centerpiece, but they're going to try and ask for centerpiece value for him, and everyone's going to point to the fact that he's, you know, a good number two and a great number three, but not really a number one. So, you know, I kind of knew a deal wouldn't get done there. And then your man, Dwight Howard, that's a battle of wills. The Lakers are going to try and force him to, you know, feel like, hey, you can't force us to trade you. We're the Lakers. And then Dwight's going to, you know, have his best game of the season the night of, and then try and hold them hostage. You're going to try and hold y'all hostage, Jimmy.
Here's my thing, man. At the end of the day, the trade deadline was weak. Hakeem Warrick is playing for like a 45th team. And it's not even 45 teams in the league. He's played for everybody.
He's
the Nets got stuck with Chris Humphreys. They've been trying to move him to everybody. It's just a big disappointment. In the Knicks signed your man Kenyon Martin. That's your home. He was the Knicks.
Mr. Dick.
Badass yellow boy.
But at the end of the day, this is showing this week, man. What do you think about your friend to the war, Ronnie Brewer? He gets to go. Play in OKC now. OKC.
Oh, he's in OKC.
OKC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Children on the future.
For what were the pieces in that trade, Jimmy?
Yo, I'm laughing because I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh like that when you asked me a question, but Jeff just chimed in the chat room, so a shout out to him. We just gave him a shout out for finally getting rid of that BlackBerry. But it's one of those moves. It's one of those cap space moves. That's where they used a vacant spot to pick up Kenyon Martin and put him on the Knicks after they traded away, Brewer to OKC. So, that's what's going on there. And Josh McRoberts went to Charlotte for Hakeem Warrick. Like, I'm looking at these deals, man, and it's a joke, man. I just knew KG was supposed to be on his way to Clippers and all that, man. Like, come on, man. Anyway, man, I just think the whole thing is hyped up, it's overblown, and it's a joke. Let me ask you guys another question moving forward. Let's talk about Billy Hunter. He's voted out as the Players Union president. He's challenging that. So my question to you is, does he kind of like hurt his I don't even want to say legacy at this point because he got pushed out, but what do you think about the whole situation?
I think that he is in a position where he has to back off at this point. And be realistic with things. A lot of what he's accused of, he's guilty of. And so now you're coming back to the table, you're trying to force what, a settlement? Are you doing this for your money? Are you doing this for your legacy? I don't get where he has the leverage to really make the battle and the argument.
Here's the thing, though. Just to tie it in with our last story before PJ gets his answer. A lot of people were blaming him for the lack of activity at this trading deadline, saying because of, his actions and also this new CBA, it kind of, changed the game in a sense where people can't make these kind of trades because in past season, teams, they paid, dollar for dollar when going over the facts whatever, but now it's far more punitive, and that's something that he put in place, and it's the reason why there are, none of those trades that happen. So, his name is still getting ran through the mud,
Right. Well, they say that he's a big factor in the lack of activity. One agent was quoted as saying, I came to work today in a Hearst with a black suit, black top hat, because it's dead out there. So that's what the agents are feeling like. I don't know. His issue, a lot of these folks are saying it's nepotism. His hiring of family members and all of those things that have led to this. And how do you fight that? How do you, what is your grounds for, because it's one of those things where either you did or you didn't hire your family member. What's your response to that?
Yeah.
And how long was he
17 years.
17 years? Okay.
He came in with Kobe.
Man, damn. How about that? At this point, man, tell him to go home and get his shine box because it's over with. but it's funny because Derek Fisher, he had it in for him from the gate. You see Derek Fisher was plotting on that seat for a long time, yo.
Oh, you know he has been, man. That's D. Fish, yo.
He's playing the Game of Thrones over there at the Union, man. But this whole thing with him challenging it, at this point, he should just go away, man, because I'm pretty sure he was well we know he was well compensated for what he did. He must just go ahead and, continue his legal career and leave that alone because, like Austin said, either you did or you didn't, and who knows what can come out if you keep fighting this. Sometimes you got to know when to hold him and fold him, yo. Straight up. Anyway, man, let's stop talking about Billy Hunter. It's enough of him.
I want to talk about Billy Hunter and how he made the NBA Players Association payroll look like an Evite list from his family reunion.
Man, nepotism is alive and strong, and I have no problem with it. You know what I mean? It ain't my money he's taking, man. You probably would have did the same thing. Don't front.
He like, that ain't my cousin.
Don't front. Hey, be off. I'm talking to you, brother. You did the same thing, man.
Nepotism?
Absolutely. You would have hired everybody known the man and threw them up on that union payroll, man. That's how the great unions in America were built. Anyway, man, let's move on, man. Listen, man, this is a sad story for me. Dr. Jerry Buss dies at the age of 80. In my personal opinion, the greatest franchise sports owner in the history of modern sports.
Damn. Sports.
That's a heavy statement there, brother.
I that's what I feel, man. To me, that's his legacy.
And you sound like Irving.
I just hope his son doesn't bury that and ruin
little Jimmy. Little Jimmy Buss.
I just hope he doesn't ruin this, man, because the foundation that he laid that foundation thing down. So his son can't ruin this, man, but that's my opinion. I really think he's the greatest owner in modern sports.
I wouldn't take it that far.
Who would you put up there with?
I do think that he's been
maybe Steinbrenner?
Yeah, I mean, I do think he's been good for the sport. I do appreciate his management and ownership style, if you will, because, he basically came in. He said, look, I'm going to hire the right people. I'm going to give you the right resources. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm not scared to spend dollars. And you go and run this organization understanding that you're accountable for wins and losses. I'm here to win championships. That's what I'm here for. And, you can't do anything but respect that and respect that approach. That's how it's supposed to be done. So, I understand your position, Jimmy. I'm hesitant to give him the best ever anywhere in the universe title, but he's definitely top. In the top 20.
He won 10 chips.
Top 20? I think him and
you said top 20?
Yeah.
Top 20, yo.
I got to say top 20? Because we as arrogant Americans, we totally discount certain things. Like soccer, like you can take basketball out of soccer 3 times in terms of revenue, and soccer still makes more money than so the ownerships. We don't even think about the ownership of Manchester United and Real Madrid and teams like that that are worth double or triple what the Lakers are and have the same type of legacy, but we don't really know anything about their ownership because we don't follow that particular sport. So yeah, he's probably not top 20. He's probably top 10, but I definitely
Come
some
on,
soccer.
Oh, so you want to put
soccer
up? You want to put up cricket owners and owners of radio.
No, I'm not. I can't say cricket.
You put Smarty Jones on it.
I can't put America, man.
You're not doing it. You're not doing this show.
We're global. We're global. Yo, shout out to our African correspondent, Waji, holding it down for us. I can't take that perspective. Because again, soccer is a $17.8 billion sport with not one, not two, not five, but like $6 billion franchise. So, I don't know.
How do I care about that, man?
$17 billion worth of revenue says otherwise.
Yo, yeah, I get you. At the end of the day, we talking about hoops, B. This is what we do.
So he's
hoops.
The best
we
owner in hoops.
Pigskin.
You could definitely say he's the best owner in hoops.
This dude is bringing up soccer. PJ, give me one soccer story we talked about the last 2 hours.
All I know is my man Jerry Buss brought cheerleaders to the. He brought cheering squads and dance teams to the league. Like his legacy is so strong. Like if you look at back where he got the team in 78 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, listen, we're going to hit, this is LA. The stars and the stars is out here. This is Hollywood. We need to make the Lakers not just a basketball team. We're not just, putting on and providing a venue for people to come and watch professional basketball. We're going to make this a show. My man created the Forum Club. And that, from all the stories that we know and the way it's told, the Forum Club is where it used to go down. You know what I'm saying? that's a magic caught that beast. He caught that germ in the Forum Club somewhere. But honestly, though, the point is what he did, though, is kind of made show, he's the one that brought Showtime to the Lakers and to L.A. as far as their basketball team. And, you know, that's the biggest sport there. And, well, it ain't no football team anymore. But, I mean, it's just the Lakers are so big in L.A., and they are so monumental, even in the state of California, man, even people that aren't really from L.A. and other parts of the state just realize what the Lakers are. And not just, I mean, obviously it's the athletes and the players that made the team good. But, I mean, he brought just the element of Showtime to make the whole Lakers and all that they are more of an event, more of a positive spectacle. But, so all that plays into, in my opinion, all that plays into what he did as an owner to kind of change around that organization and the way it's perceived across the world, essentially. So, I mean,
listen,
don't get me wrong, his timing was good because that's when, like Brad called him earlier, Smiling Magic got there. So,
but listen, though,
you know,
if you remember, he said he
place.
Wasn't going to buy the team unless they drafted Magic.
Oh, okay. Yes,
he did
say that. He did make
he said,
that.
I'm not buying this team unless you, because they didn't want to draft Magic, but he was coming in to buy a team. He said, I'm not buying it unless you do draft Magic.
Let's
show
get this kid from Michigan State.
his first thing was to draft Magic. But the reason I say that is because when I think about, like, the cream of the crop in terms of owners, the only person that can sit at the table with him is probably Steinbrenner. And I say that because the one thing about the Lakers is the championships are one thing, but in terms of them being competitive, yo, it's a big thing if the Lakers don't make the playoffs. You have teams like the Celtics who have, you know, as much success championship-wise, but there are several seasons where that team is just completely stumped. The Lakers don't go through down periods, yo. The Lakers
barely
exist.
Yo, you know what, man? Just because Jimmy took this approach, this hardy approach because he's a Lakers fan, I'm going with Bob Kraft as the best owner. Talking about no down period. Bob Kraft. Because the NFL is bigger than the NBA. Yeah, Robert Kraft.
Come on, dude.
Bob Kraft, seriously?
Yeah.
You comparing a guy who, what do you got, 3 championships? And he ain't won one since they stopped cheating?
Yeah. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
And they just missed the playoffs a couple years ago. The Lakers don't miss the playoffs, B.
Huh?
Yo, the Lakers
y'all
missed the playoffs like 2 times in the last 20 years, yo. Straight up. It just doesn't happen. Since he's been owner, the team has been competitive. Like I said, they don't rebuild, they retool. It's a completely different, and this is why, like, sometimes when talking about hoops with people who are fans of other teams, they don't get it. The Lakers don't accept mediocrity, man.
Even from the days of Nick Van Exel and Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones, my man Seth Ceballos, Elvin Campbell, and Vlade Divac. That was a starting lineup. They was going to the playoffs, so B. That's my thing. My thing is, his legacy is, yo, we don't accept mediocrity, man. They just don't. And it's a complete – it's the same thing with the Yankees. You know, if the Yankees don't make the playoffs, somebody getting fired. There's only a couple franchises in all of sports that are like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like some teams – you know, especially those Midwest teams. My fault. Let me stop giving my big.
And the Yankees are in a very tough market too. Like that New York market is a tough market.
Yeah.
I mean, for the Lakers, just like Kobe was saying about Dwight, the Lakers is a tough. I mean, that's a tough basketball market as well in L.A. because there's expectations. Because like you said, what they've been doing for so many years.
Man, you know what Kobe told Dwight? He said, "Yeah, the Lakers in Orlando."
Yeah. You know what I mean? This ain't no place where old people come to retire, dog. This is a place where we gotta compete and, you know, put on a show for these people.
Man.
We got Jack Nicholson down here with his sunglasses on every game. Like, it's sunny.
Legacy of Dr. Buss and why I honestly believe that. I mean, outside, all right, take out the fact that I am a Lakers fan. Take that away. I still think, I mean, I'm not a Yankees fan, but at the end of the day, in terms of baseball, Steinbrenner is his equal, and that's it. Because, you know, you got to win there. That's his legacy, and Dr. Buss's legacy is the same thing, which is why, you know, in discussing Dr. Buss, I just hope his son doesn't ruin it, man. We got about a good, you know, 25 minutes left in the show. I'd be awesome. I need you to, you know, make sure our phone lines and everything is clear. But I saved this time because there's two topics that we probably can spend the rest of the show talking about, because I'm pretty sure that both of you gentlemen have a lot to say about this. Now, we grew up in what I like to call the heyday, and of course I would call it the heyday considering it's, you know, we grew up loving basketball. But two gentlemen who are two of our favorite players both turned 50. Jordan and Barkley, and you know, Jordan turning 50 basically became like a holiday, and I was scotched out of it. But you also have you know, Sir Chuck. So I want to spend the rest of the time talking about, you know, what do you guys think about their careers, their legacy, what they're doing now, and also about Mike and this whole talk of him coming back. But let's just go back and talk about these guys turning 50 and coming up as a Hoops fan. I know both of you guys were. What do these guys mean to you? So let's just talk about, you know, these guys' birthday or whatever.
Yeah, no, man.
PJ, go ahead. Let them have it.
Man, I'm gonna start at home with my man Chuck Barkley, man. Chuck, to me, even if I start like current and go backwards, like I'm a huge Charles Barkley fan, man. And a lot of the stuff that Charles Barkley says and does is off the cuff, but he's part of the reason that I tune in. He's such a character. I don't even know a good descriptive like adjective to explain what Chuck is now, but whatever it is, he makes you want to tune in. There was a lot of sports talk in the city about Charles Barkley on the various stations that are local to Philly, and all that people kept calling in talking about was how when you see Chuck around the city, see Charles Barkley out wherever he is, yo, he's the most approachable dude that you'll ever meet. A lot of people that have waited on him, like he's the best tipper, one of the best tippers you'll ever find. I mean, all these things just play into, to me, in my opinion, who Charles Barkley is.
Yeah.
But if I take that and then head back into like him as a player, to me as a Sixers fan coming up, he was always like he had like the obviously we know he had the bad boy mentality. And almost he seemed like an overachiever based on his size and the way he looked. From, you know, the eyeball test, you look at Charles Barkley, you're like, no way this dude is a dominant power forward in the league who's like 6'4", like 280. And when you look back, yeah, I don't know how old, you know, some of the audiences won't remember Charles Barkley. Some of the people our age and above will remember. But dude was ignorantly dominant as a power forward here as a Sixer,
oh, yeah.
And then when he went to Phoenix. But you look back at some of his stats and the way it just amazes me, man. It's so much that I can say about Chuck. I just throw that out there, let y'all weigh in, and we'll circle back, man. But it's too much I can say about Chuck and MJ too. But since I started with Chuck, man, I'm gonna hand it off to one of y'all.
Yeah, it's no problem. You can always leave out MJ. It's cool. We can talk about Chuck.
Hey, I understand. I understand where you're coming from, brother. Being that great is mad.
And to your point, PJ, like I said, we grew up in a time where, you know, Barkley was the main guy in Philly. I've actually met him on a couple of occasions. One being when I was a kid, I had my first job working in the movie theater.
Andorra to give me a job.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, but Barkley used to come up there all the time with different women. None of them his wife, by the way. And he was very cool. Like, he was cool. Like, you know, he was very approachable. He was cool. And it's funny because I've been a Lakers fan since I was a very young kid. That's a long story in itself. But he made me root for the Sixers as a Lakers fan because he was just that cool of a guy. And the way he approached the game and played the game, like, yo, Barkley was that dude. People forget. Barkley used to take the ball coast to coast and, like, punch on cats.
Uh-huh.
He was very undersized, playing power forward. He would get double-digit rebounds, and people say he was 6'6". I've stood next to him. Barkley's not 6'6". You know, Barkley's like
6'4".
Yeah. I'm
6'2".
Yeah, 6'4", 6'5".
He's not 6'6".
Yeah.
He's on Mario Ellie's height.
Yo, he was playing. Yo, there were guards at the time on the Sixers who were taller than him.
Yo, Gary Payton was 6'4".
6'3". Yo, but Barkley was 6'4".
Rod Strickland was 6'4". Sam Cassell,
6'4". Rod Strickland was also the best guy. No, but seriously, though, Barkley, in terms of playing, you know, we all know that we all love him as a broadcaster, what have you. He's very comical. But thinking about him as a player, in that year, his first year in Phoenix, oh, my God.
Yeah. Remember the one playoff game? He had like 45 and like 28 or something ignorant.
That was like a closeout game, too. I think that was a closeout game.
Yeah,
I think. Playoff run that he had.
He said, I'm not going home.
Yeah.
I'm not going home.
Yo.
No,
you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy when you think about, like,
I'm going to take a different approach than y'all.
Go ahead.
Let me just give you some of the numbers from this young man. 23 and 14.6. Recall that he was 6'4", 6'5", at the max. 23 and 14.6. 28 and 12. 25 and 13. 27 and 10. 25 and 12. Even at the advanced age of 33, 19 and 13.5. Yo! This guy's numbers should make Shaq ashamed of himself. Because
what?
You could stand,
where did that come from, though?
You could stand. No, I don't. There's a logic to this. You could stand two Chucks on top of each other, and that's about what Shaq's height is. And this dude was getting like 25 and 12 consistently. His career average was 22 and 12. Like,
so
that's,
if you feel that way about, if you feel that way about Shaq, how you feel about Brook Lopez? Dude don't even get double digit rebounds in the game.
Yo, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for being like over 6'6", playing around the basket and not getting 10 boards. Like, there's no, that's all about heart and effort. That's
yo,
all, yo, this
yo,
guy.
PJ, where you come up with this stuff at? There's no
yo,
excuse anybody over 6'6".
Listen, man, this guy was 3 inches taller than me playing power forward in the NBA, getting 22 and 12, yo. I don't think people understand what Barkley was. And to be honest with you, from an athletic standpoint, like completely going with Barkley's word, athletic, from an athletic standpoint, he really wasn't even a power forward. Dude would had the agility and the handle of a small forward. He just was strong enough to go down there.
We just got a tweet. It's from our Casey Mack. He says that when you look at him now, Jordan looks like he's miserable, and Barkley looks like he's happier now, like living life to the fullest.
Oh, yeah.
Because even Barkley said he played angry.
But
he's happy now.
No, but at Jimmy, you know, and I let Jimmy get away with clowning our man, PJ, but he there is some validity in what he said. Like, Michael Jordan is a weirdo, and that's why he was able to be as successful in the sport, because he was utterly consumed with competitive greatness. There's something wrong with Michael Jordan, and it just so happened that his chosen profession allowed that character flaw to be a benefit to him in his profession. But as a human being, yo, dude can't live without beating people, without being competitive,
yo,
man. And Chuck,
he needs someone to challenge him in the sartorial game, because his outfits and his cut-off jeans, man, are something dreadful. But in terms of, you know, looking at both of these guys' impact, what can we even say about Michael Jordan? There's nothing that can be said at this point.
Yo, Jimmy doesn't want to talk about
Jimmy
dude.
Jimmy
don't
even
want to
talk about. He said,
listen, Michael Jordan is one of the top 10 players to ever play the game of basketball,
top
man.
10. I give Fed
his credit. He's top 10, man.
There's five players better than Mike, Jimmy.
Are there five players better than Mike? Probably not.
Are there two or three?
But you know what it is, though? I mean, let me clear this up. People listening on the podcast, because I know I'm gonna get a bunch of hate tweets and you know, people hitting me up all online and all that. All I'm saying is this whole notion of Mike is the greatest and you can't question it is a joke. It's a total joke.
I agree with that. I agree with the non-question.
Point.
I think everything.
That is my only point. That is my only point.
I just think the answer to that question is he is the greatest, but I don't mind the question being asked.
Because there's so many variables that come into play. When you start talking about guys like Chamberlain and Russell, I mean, there's like, people always bring up the level of competition, or people talk about, you know, just the athleticism of the players in those days. When you bring up guys like Magic, they always say, well, he played with Worthy and Kareem. You bring up Bird, he had Parrish.
Did he play defense?
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of things that you can say even about Michael Jordan. I mean, in terms of who did he play against, he was, you know, he had Rex Chapman guarding him and Hersey Hawkins guarding him. I mean, night in and night out, his competition wasn't that great. You know, I mean, Joe Dumars, who's overrated. I mean, so there's arguments that can be made about everybody. I mean, Michael Jordan. Let's take Kobe. And Austin, you saw the argument that one gentleman made, and you were talking about it.
Tom
the different
Foolish.
Things that Kobe has to deal with. Off the court, that Mike.
His
did.
Argument,
Mike was
his argument was that Kobe is better than Mike because Mike didn't have to deal with social media. PJ, that was his argument.
That's not
because
he's trying to make it
social.
No. See, Austin's just trying to take it like that. All he said that his argument was this, PJ. The guy's argument was he was making an argument for Kobe being the greatest of all time. He said that Kobe has to deal with things off the court that Mike just didn't. But there's validity to that. Mike was protected. Until that book was written, no one knew about Michael Jordan and his gambling habits and how bad he treated teammates. But there are things that Kobe and even LeBron are the great players that have to play now, have to deal with, that the old players didn't.
Yo,
you know what I mean? The news
like
cycle now is a 24/7 news cycle. Everything they do or say is reported. I'm just saying, these are facts, though. I'm not making this up. These are facts.
They don't like me on Twitter.
Hey, listen,
what does that have to do
that
with
that
dude?
With, man. What's that have to do with basketball?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Listen, man,
because it's a package. Bill Russell knows that have to deal with things from a racial standpoint maybe players now don't deal with. So, all I'm saying is there are a lot of things that are never talked about. This is why it's so hard to compare players from different generations. And I think that's the bottom line in all this. It's just difficult in every sport, whether we're talking about football, we're talking about basketball, or Austin's favorite thing, soccer. It's difficult to compare players from different generations. You know what I'm saying? Because there are things on and off the court that have changed. The rule changes are different. Everything is different. So, you know,
I think
to
that,
say Mike was the best
of his
generation, I'll give him that.
There's a lot of subjectivity in any discussion that really weighs on opinion. But here's the things that really make Michael Jordan Michael Jordan, if you will. When you start looking at where he dominated and how he dominated, when you lead the league in scoring from the two-guard position for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... He led the league in scoring for a decade at the two guard.
Playing shooting guard?
Playing shooting guard.
What's your point?
He
was a gun.
Definitely, he's a gun.
Are you giving him more credit for leading the league in scoring, playing shooting guard?
Then we have to get into efficiency, because what Jimmy won't admit is that he hit half of his shot. He hit 50%. So being a gun, I just had this conversation about Kevin Durant versus Allen Iverson. And I definitely, you know how I feel about Allen Iverson, but the person was saying that Kevin Durant will never exceed Allen Iverson. I said Iverson shot 42%. Kevin Durant shoots over 50% and gets 29.
Yo, when AI won the MVP, he shot like 30-something percent.
Yeah, no doubt. So efficient there, and for me, efficiency – then when you look at efficiency, you have to look at how many times someone's going to the foul line. If you're shooting 30-some percent, that's terrible. But if you're getting to the line 10 times a game, then that sort of makes up for the inefficiency of the shooting. Michael Jordan was one of those dudes that brought efficiency to the shot selection and then also brought the high volume of shooting and the high volume of scoring and the trips to the foul line. So you're getting the best of all.
That's fine when people can't breathe on you, don't want to get close to them when it's a foul call.
I mean, yo, you're faulting that man for getting.
No,
I mean,
I'm not. Listen, like I said, he's the best of his generation. He's one of the top 10, top 15 of all time. And, I mean, you can't take that from him. He's a great player. The fact of the matter is, right, when we talk about these great players, the same names come up. We talk about Russell. We talk about Chamberlain. We talk about Magic, Bird, Michael Jordan, Kobe. The fact that you're in that discussion and you're talked about as being great, that's enough in itself.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. I don't disagree with your argument that, you know, listen, you can't
you can't say that Jordan's not the greatest, or you can't question his great. I mean, that's ludicrous. That's stupid.
No,
like
I'm
I think any and every any and everybody, the beauty of sports is the dialogues that we're able to have. That's why we have sports, to be able to have these dialogues and have these conversations. So I definitely like that's just sycophants. I think the same people, a sycophant is the same no matter who they're rooting for. Like you're a noodle if you hero worship that degree. I mean that's nuts. But I think that in certain cases, a player's stature and accomplishments warrant that. And I'm just like I looked at Charles Chuck's numbers, and now I'm looking at MJ's numbers. And it's silly.
MJ is probably the most transcendent transcendent athlete that I've seen in my life, like in terms of my life, in terms of somebody that I've seen. If you look at what he meant to, I'm just not thinking about basketball, but if you look at what he meant to even the business of basketball, to the business of Nike, I mean, he was so, like, he was such a big, like,
what you're saying, PJ.
Right. Yeah, I'm just saying, go ahead.
There's three athletes who are, like, transcendent in terms of what they have done in my lifetime. And those three would be probably Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods. So I'm not disagreeing with that. But
would you say Ali in our lifetime, though?
Well, when I say
like
our lifetime, in the 80s, because even though he wasn't at his peak in our lifetime, his legacy. Even when he was at the end and Larry Holmes was beating snot out of his nose, he still was considered the champ. Ali's the only dude they called a champ, and even when he didn't have no belt, he was the champ. But my point is, you're absolutely right in terms of being transcendent. But with all those guys, there's also a situation that, you know, it's no fault of theirs. Timing is everything. Jordan came in along at a time where Nike was, beset on making a run to become the top shoemaker in that sport. If you read the book about, like, the whole Nike revolution, so to speak, it's converse with the big player then.
I know. I think that every transcendent athlete like that, though, timing plays a part. Because if Muhammad Ali didn't come up during the civil rights, his outspokenness might have been looked at as something else, looked at as being just arrogant and a big mouth.
Right.
Versus,
right.
So I think it's always timing that plays a little bit
into it.
Maybe,
The content of Ali's rants, too, was a little different than someone that's just calling attention to themselves. Like, Ali had a big mouth, but then you also have to look at what he was saying and the way he was saying it. Then you look at somebody like Floyd. Floyd has a big mouth. But what's the social content of Floyd's message? It's really nothing.
I agree.
He's just there for entertainment.
I agree. I mean, it's like T.O. T.O. has a big mouth, but all he's doing is drawing attention to T.O.
Right, right.
There's
no cause that he's speaking of. Yeah, exactly. Now,
with
Mike, here's another thing with Mike, because it is his 50th birthday, so let's show the brother a little love. What weakness does Mike have in his game? Was there a weakness?
Great point. And there probably isn't.
The only other player that I've seen without weakness to their game is Kobe Bryant. Now, that doesn't knock the results of other players. Just like we say, LeBron James can't go left. But look at what he does with that weakness. He still is the best player in the world. The only two players I've seen without weakness to their game is Mike and Kobe. So now I look at the fact there's no weakness to your game. Your totals in terms of your per-game averages are silly. It's dumb to average 30 points a game over 1,072 games is nuts. That's crazy. And to shoot 50% from the field? Yo, that's very interesting.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, he's the best basketball player I've seen so far. So he Mike is it's a lot of hype around Mike, man. It's tough because
it's
so
deserved.
Much hype, but he deserves it. But yeah, you're right, he deserves it. But in some sense, it's like overkill. Like for instance, like this whole 50th birthday. Like, yeah. I mean, I can dig it, but it was a lot of hype. I was surprised. Honestly, I was surprised about this because he turned. I mean, granted, I know 50 is a milestone birthday, but I'm just like, I'm surprised how much hype. Like, it was really special about the man because he turned 50.
I will say this. Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of bad owners, though.
Again, but you know what, though? I kind of even question that because – well, not even question that because due to Billy Hunter and this new agreement, Michael Jordan is getting ready to cake off financially.
He's hard. Because of the share
–
the
but you know what, though? Speaking of timing, PJ, his birthday also came around at a time where it was a slow news cycle, too. The Super Bowl was gone. You know, the NBA's on their break, so to speak. So Michael Jordan is, you know – perfect timing again. They created content around Jordan's 50th birthday. Like, what are they going to do when this man passes away? Like, they're going to shut down ESPN for a week.
Kids ain't going to school. Yeah, and kids
they're
going to
cryo. They're going to put him in the cryo freezer.
They're going to swap that with MLK Day.
Man, all I'm saying is, I just want people to have an open mind when you discuss the greatest basketball player and be smart about it. If you think Jordan's the best, that's cool. The reason I respect B. Austin's opinion because he can give me data and reasons why he thinks he's the best. But some jokers out there, Mike the best, and that's just it. And but my thing is, I just want you to think about everything, man. I mean, you know, it's easy to be the best.
Well, I'm also willing to keep it to basketball because I fully acknowledge like some of these people go outside of basketball to kind of formulate their opinions and allow that to influence their opinions even more. I mean, there's nothing wrong in looking at things on the periphery. You know, is he a nice human being? Is he a good guy? Barkley's a good guy. He's entertaining. He's fun. But at the end of the day, if we look between the lines of the court that Mike played on, that's where you got to keep it. Because as a human being, Mike has done some not so nice things. You know, so and some of those character flaws are what helped him thrive in the game.
Yeah, just FYI, I just want to throw this out there. Mike also didn't play under the same pressure that Kobe did to win in L.A. So, I mean, that's either here nor there. You know,
but Kobe Bryant didn't get hand-checked and get people letting people put his paws on him and the Detroit Pistons beating him up and that type of stuff. So.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant also played tougher competition, but, you know.
What competition?
I'm not saying Kobe's better than Mike. I'm not making that argument.
No,
I'm just saying. Just throwing some facts out there, that's all.
Mike played against Magic. He played against Bird. He played against...
Man, listen.
He played against Mitch Richmond once a year.
Mitch Richmond played for...
He played more than once,
no,
I know.
Man,
he played him three times.
Mitch Richmond never made the playoffs anyway. All
but
I'm
that
saying,
doesn't mean he's not good. Barkley never won a chip, and he's still one of the greatest power forwards of all time. Come on, now.
What's that got to do with anything? What did Barkley not winning a chip got to do with Mitch Richmond?
Mitch Richmond never made the playoffs. That doesn't mean he's not great competition for Mike.
No, I'm saying that Jordan never had a chance to play against him in the playoffs for anything
in the
like
playoffs.
That.
Okay.
On a championship because he couldn't even make the playoffs. I'm not disrespecting his game. Mitch Richmond is a legend. One of the most underrated players in my opinion is Mitch Richmond.
I agree. Second best two guard in the era.
It wasn't that many good ones. I mean, you can make an argument for Reggie Miller probably.
And the white boy.
Oh.
Who just made the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Golden State, run TMC.
Oh, Mullen. Oh, on the same slide.
Mullen played small forward, though, B.
Yeah, you're right.
Ain't no difference between an SF and an SG.
Ain't no difference.
They was on the same team, though. How they both going to be small two guards when they was on the same team?
Same way Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady were two guards on the same team. They both interchanged at that position.
Listen, man, all I'm saying is this. He played small forward, man. That dude couldn't take two guards to save his life. So he was slow. But at the end of the day, all I'm saying is it's hard to compare players of generations. But with that being said, man, happy birthday to Michael Jordan and Sir Charles Barkley on their 50th birthday. You know, two of the greatest players to ever play. And just don't want to forget about Barkley because Barkley is also a great player, and no one ever talks about his game now because he's become such a polarizing figure in the media. So people don't even bring that up anymore. All they talk about
right.
is his antics on TV, but he's definitely one of the greatest players, man. But it's time for us to get out of here. Thanks for joining us in the warm today, good people. Shout out to everyone in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the callers who chimed in and rapped with us. Tune in same time, same place next week for more good times with your favorite sports talk crew. Until then, enjoy your weekend. In the week leading up to the next time you hear from who? Us. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all over the internet, and also check out WarRoomSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. Rest in peace, Dr. Buss. We are out of here, Austin. Get that music, good brother.